Luke chapter 9, today we pick up verse 46. Not Luke 9, 46. Last week we studied Jesus' transfiguration. Remember? Right in front of Peter and James and John. Jesus is transfigured into his eternal glory. And it's what the transfiguration was. It's a revelation to these disciples of the glory that Jesus has had throughout all of eternity. And the glory that's always been a part of Jesus' nature began to burst forth from the veil of his flesh right then. And when they came down from the mountain then, hey, Brian, that's going to be really hard for me today, Brian. That's going to be really hard for me today. I understand. That's going to be hard. So we may have to ask him to go into the other room for a little bit. So when he came down off the mountain, you know, he encounters a demon-possessed boy. And remember the other nine apostles that had trouble casting out that demon. But Jesus had said the reason was because the guys hadn't lived a life of prayer and fasting. Jesus, of course, had no issues. And then notice at the verse, 43, right there in 43, everybody's amazed at the majesty of God. And then from there, Jesus announces his impending death and resurrection. Notice it says right there in verse 44 that the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. It's the first time he'd said that. He told the guys before he was going to die and be buried and resurrected. But this is the first time he told them that he was going to have to be betrayed before that had happened. So that leads us up to today, verse 46. It says, "And then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him. And he said to them, 'Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you all will be great.'" Let's stop there for a second. Lord, thanks for the time we have together just to enjoy your presence and enjoy what you're doing in our hearts, Lord. And we want to receive right now all that you have for us, God. We want to hear your voice really clearly. Lord, we're not here today because it's Sunday morning. We're here today because we want to fellowship with each other and we want to hear from you. And Lord, so have your way. Show us the depth of your love through your scriptures today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 46, part of the reasons I believe that the disciples couldn't come to grips with the death and resurrection of Jesus is they're busy talking about who's going to be greatest when Jesus established his kingdom. You see it there in 46? That's why they're disputing. They're still hoping that Jesus would get it all together, throw off the Roman domination of Israel, establish his kingdom in Jerusalem. And if Jesus was the Messiah, that's what he's supposed to do right then. And they fully believed that Jesus had the power to do that. They had the support of the people. Now, the religious leaders were not quite on board perfectly, but they can get around that. They knew that Jesus was going to do that. Let's do it right now. And then when Jesus did establish his kingdom, they knew they were going to rule and reign with him. And so they're already positioning themselves to be right at the top of Jesus' cabinet. And so as we see 46, that's why they're disputing. The disciples weren't concerned about being great for God's glory. They wanted to be great out of selfish ambition. And I think one thing to note is it's very important for us as Christians not to frown upon the idea of ambition. We need to have ambition. Ambition's not condemned in the scriptures. What's condemned is selfish ambition. Ambition for my own greatness. So God help us all to have ambition to do great things for God's kingdom and for God's glory, for God's purposes. Now, for us to get a little fuller picture of this little section, go back over to the book of Mark. And in Mark chapter 9, it adds one little thing that I felt was really important for us to land on today. It's Mark 9, verse 33 is where we start. Just a couple verses there. Because in this section here, Jesus teaches us what greatness looks like in his kingdom. And if we can get this, if we can grab a hold of this, if we can live by this, then God's going to do terrific things through us in our community. We're going to have great impact for the kingdom purposes in our world, it's important to know you designed for greatness. You know that, Christian? You were designed by God to do great things. And you're going to have an eternal impact on those who live around you. But it's a greatness that's total opposite of what the world tries to beat into our minds every day. And so that's what I wanted to focus on. Notice in verse 33 is where it kind of starts. Same story. It says, then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he, speaking of Jesus, asked them, what was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. Yeah, Jesus kind of busted them right there. For on the road they had been disputing among themselves who would be the greatest. And 35 is where I wanted to land. And he sat down, Jesus did, and called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. And then he brings the child forward, like we saw over in the book of Luke, and he puts the child in the midst of them, and then he takes the child in his arms, and he says in 37, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So I wanted to focus a little bit today on 35, because Jesus is saying there, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then become a servant. So what's a servant? As a servant is someone who desires to make make life better for other people. It's to give my life for the betterment of others. That's what a servant does. And when a person does that, then he's going to have a place of greatness in God's kingdom. Now, greatness in God's kingdom doesn't come with possessing the highest title. That's what the disciples are arguing about. Who gets to be Grand Poobah? Who gets to wear the antlers to the meeting next time? That's what they're arguing over. But Jesus says here, if you want to be great in my kingdom, then be last. Be the servant of all. Now, the greatest test of this, how we're doing in this area, is study your reaction when people treat you as a servant. And sometimes we can be surprised. You know, maybe as you get a little older, or maybe you've gotten a position, quote unquote, here at the church, and you're kind of responsible for a few things, and you expect to be treated a certain way. And so you find yourself standing around after church, just talking with people, and all of a sudden somebody walks up and says, hey, bud, how about you go pick up that trash right there and take it out, because we'll take it home with us today. Right there, your action can be, who are you talking to? Don't you know who I am? I don't pick up trash. I'm an elder. I don't pick up trash. Did you see me sing like Alan Jackson? I don't do trash. And our reaction right there is really important, because then we get this attitude of, you just asked me to be a servant. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that at all. It's one thing to have this idea in our minds. It's another thing totally to walk it out in our daily lives. So greatness, according to Jesus, is found in being a servant, living my life for the betterment of others. And I think it's really important for us to allow the Holy Spirit to search our lives. Right here this morning, am I really a servant for you, God? And the question I guess I'd like for you to ask is yourself, is your life dominated by selfish ambition? Or is your life given over to servanthood, where you serve others so that you make their life better? And notice there in 35, Jesus says, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be the last of all and servant of all. And the word all there in the original language, you know what it means? All. Yeah, it was deep. I studied it. And there are some people in our world that are very easy to serve. It's effortless. Others? Oh, boy, not quite as easy to serve, are they? But the Lord's telling us here that when we're serving all, that we're to do it unto him. And then to illustrate the point, that's where he brings the child in. And we can go back to Luke to see the child story. Although, I mean, you might want to keep your finger there, because we're going to head back to Mark for one little thing related to that. But you notice this child part in 48, back in Luke chapter 9. Jesus in 47 perceives the thoughts of their heart, takes the little child, set him by him, and says, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For he who is least among you will be great. Now, to understand what's really going on here, we have to know what the role of children were in the society back then. Because in our world today, we kind of fawn over little kids. There's nothing we won't do for our kids. But back then, it was totally different. They lived by the motto. They really lived by the motto, children should be seen and not heard. Children were considered property. They had no social standing at all. In fact, and this is the God's honest truth, I looked it up again because I thought this, and I looked it up again. Fathers had no relationship with their kid until they came of age. Clay, how old are you? Right then would be really when the first time that Clay and his dad would begin to have a relationship. That's the way it was. Dads had no relationship with their children until they became about that age. Can you imagine? That's so foreign to us. I mean, I couldn't even think about the fact not having, but the dads were busy doing important things rather than taking care of their kids. The role of taking care of the kids, that was for the servants. That was for the ladies. That was for others. Men had no role. Can you imagine, Lee, being there with your kid, not even holding him now, giving over to somebody else? That's crazy to think about. But that's the way it was. Children were seen as the least. Even acknowledging a child is very unusual. So the fact that Jesus, and that's why I wanted to land on a little bit, the fact that Jesus in 47 would take a child and put him on his knee is a huge thing back then. No man did that. No man did that. And yet Jesus does it because he's trying to make a point. He's saying, you know what? If you're willing to care for someone like this, one who is the least, then you're pleasing my Father in heaven. And you know, the thing back then is that people wanted a prominent place, and it happens in our world today. Now, we can read this and we think, you know what, I'm not sure about a prominent place. I don't think about that very much. But there are times when people want to be in the worship team just because they want to get in front of people. And there are people who are probably thinking, when are you going to die because I want to teach? And they're waiting for me to croak, so it's their turn. And everybody wants to be up here. Everybody wants to be seen. And no one wants to serve in the children's ministry. No one. Maybe you shouldn't raise your hand. Do you know who's teaching right today, right now? Who's teaching your kids? Very few of us would know. Do you know who's in the nursery today, right now? Looks like Sandy. Very few of us would know. Why? It's the behind-the-scenes thought. It's the spot that people are serving in our church right now, but they're not getting any attention for it. A lot of us struggle with doing something without being seen. Did you, when you walk in today, did you notice there were drapes up in Fellowship Hall? There were people that came in this week and hung the drapes so that this place would look beautiful. It was the beautification. They served. They were here for hours on Friday doing things that no one was aware of, unless you know. Did you notice when you come in? Looks really nice, doesn't it, if you noticed. If you didn't notice it. It looks wonderful. But those are the things that make our body what our body is there are people who come in and do things throughout the week and no one knows. In fact, there are oftentimes I'm not even aware that they were here because they know how to get in and they come in, they do what they do, and they lock the door when they leave, and I could just tell when I get in. It's like all of a sudden the toilet's not running all the time anymore. Someone came in and fixed it without any attention. See, that's a glorious truth about what servanthood looks like. So Jesus takes this child, and he's saying, anyone who's willing to receive such a one in my name, in other words, who's going to be willing to take care of this child, feed this child, nurture this child, educate this child, they're going to be great in kingdom things. They're going to be serving God that way. So I think the reason I want to land here is there are disenfranchised people all around us. There are the least people all around us. And Jesus is calling us to minister to them. We need to tenderly love those who the world has cast off and thrown away. And by doing that, you'll be considered great in God's eyes. You want to be considered great in God's eyes? Oh, yeah, I do. Then be aware of those in your community. Be aware of those guys in your school. Be aware of those in your neighborhoods. And notice, it's not just about doing things for them. He's not asking, Jesus isn't just asking them to meet the child's needs. He's saying, change your attitude towards people who are disenfranchised. Change your attitude about people who are considered the least. You know, oftentimes we do things for people because they're going to do something for me back. I like Dave Sorry. He has Colts tickets. I want to help Dave Sorry. Yeah, it's becoming a little easier to go, isn't it? By the way, that wasn't Dave, that was Kathy. Okay, just so you thought, wow, Dave's voice is changing as he gets a little older. But you know, isn't that sometimes our motivation? Because I'm going to do this for you knowing that, after all, Larry knows a mechanic, so I'm going to help Larry because maybe Larry will take care of me. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about here. The least, a child can't do anything back for you. What's a child going to do for you? Sneeze on you? I mean, really? And that's what Jesus is talking about. So as we minister to the least, we're doing it out of the love of God because we recognize there's nothing they're going to be able to do to repay me for this. And that's why Jesus says James tells us one of the true and undefiled religion is this, remember? To help with the widows and the orphans. Why? There's nothing they can do for you. They got no ability to pay you back for what you've done for them. That's one of the reasons why I want to take the youth to Mexico this year, is I want to open our eyes to the reality of doing things for people who can never, ever, 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 ever pay these kids back. And they're going to do it because they love God and they want to follow this principle here. And the cool thing about ministering to people on the least, there's not a long line. There's not a lot of people doing it. So there's opportunities are all around. And let me tell you one other thing that goes along with this. When Jesus says that we should be last, it's not just a passive thing here. We're not to always just go to the end of the line at Walmart. Well, here, you go ahead. That's not only what he's saying. He's saying we're to work hard to make sure that people succeed in front of us. In other words, our job is to push people forward. Our job is to use our strength and our resources, our talents, our abilities to promote the people around us so that they win. And we may not. And if we can say that while we finish behind them, then the Lord's saying that you've become great. Isn't that an amazing thing how Jesus talks like this? I love the concept. First of all, if this is the foundation for greatness, then every one of us in this room can be great. Every single one of us can be great. Today, you were designed by God for greatness. And it's totally accessible to you. You can be great in God's eyes. And the second thing I like about this, like I said before, is the opportunities around you to practice this are everywhere, including people in your own family that you can love and serve with the goal that as I blow wind into their sails, I'm going to help them win. I'm going to help them do well. I'm going to help them. And God's going to say, well done to me. So I'd like for you to ask yourself a question. Just as we just ponder this and contemplate this, who are the little children in your world? Who are the disenfranchised in your world? Who are the least that God has put around you so that you can love and serve and promote? I think you'll find they're all around you. We just need to humble ourselves and walk in what Jesus calls us to do. So here's what it takes to be great. Make sure you're helping those around you to finish before you. Make sure that you're not the one being served, but you have the heart to serve others. See how totally foreign that is from the culture? No one does that. No one does that in business. How can I help you get the promotion instead of me? That's no way. That's crazy talk. Someone has once said, and I try to find who said it, and I can't. If you want to be high, stoop low. If you want to go up, go down. But go as low as e'er you will. The Savior has gone lower still. Think of what Jesus left to come to this planet. We'll never approach the level of servanthood that he showed us. And yet he's calling us to that same level of servanthood. Give of yourselves. Promote others. Help others succeed. Be willing to stand in the background and just smile because they're doing well. Instead of being jealous and envious and frustrated and angry. That should be me. I can't believe that's not me. That's not a Christ-likeness. So Jesus simply tells these guys, make serving others your focus. And greatness will follow. And it's a good lesson for us. Now he goes on, and we're back to Luke 9, verse 49. Now John answered, the Apostle John, and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. But verse 50, Jesus said to them, Do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. So the disciples didn't forbid this guy because the guy hated God or he was doing something unbiblical, but they rejected this guy simply because he wasn't one of them. And how many times have we gotten down on people or rebuked people or criticized people or flat out dismissed people because they didn't do things the way we do them? And in some ways, we think if they're not a mainline evangelical Christian church, then therefore they can't be used by God. Jesus is clearly helping us see that that isn't the case. So we got to be careful here. Remember, there are a lot of people that are following Jesus at this point in time in his ministry. And here's one of them who's casting out demons in Jesus' name and apparently being pretty successful at it. Now, why would this bother John? Well, first, he says it here, because this guy wasn't part of their group, not part of their denomination. And it could have been because he wasn't doing it exactly the way that the apostles did it, and therefore you got to follow the method here. Here's how we do it. We first got to do this, and then we got to do that, and this guy might not be doing something the way they did it. But I wonder if the most important thing is that this guy's being successful at something that the apostles couldn't do. Remember, we read it a little bit last week, and I did a little bit today. And in verse 40, look at, back at verse 40 of chapter 9 of Luke, I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they couldn't do it. This guy's having success in a way the apostles weren't. And maybe that's why John says, who's this guy think he is? And you know what? There's a part of me that's really guilty in this area. Because if I'm not successful at something, and someone else is, or some other ministry is, then I can be very skeptical of them. Well, they must be doing something unbiblical. Or else I'd be having the same level of success. They must be compromising in some way. Because we're doing it right. And it's not working. So they must be doing something wrong for it to be working. How convoluted is that? And yet that goes on in my mind, and I think it may go on in your mind too. And I love what Jesus says here. He says, in essence, in verse 50, listen, John, if they're not against me, they're for me. If they're promoting me in my kingdom, then they're doing a good thing. Think of what this guy's doing. Just for a second, think of what this guy's doing. God's using him to set human beings free. He's finding people who are being tortured by demons. And in the name of Jesus, he's seeing these people liberated. And they're able to live normal lives again. We've been going through demonic things as we've gone up to this far. Luke, we've seen the torturous things that demonic possession's doing. Remember the guy over in the Gadarenes and all the things that was going on in him? This guy's helping people live normal lives again. You would think John would be rejoicing at what's going on. But instead, because this guy isn't part of their group, doesn't have the secret handshake down pat yet, And he's saying, we forbid you from continuing. And I think the church, maybe not our church, but maybe, but I think the big church, Body of Christ Church, we're still infected with that attitude today. And Jesus clearly, clearly tells the apostles, leave that guy alone. He who is not against us is for us. Praise the Lord for the diversity in the body of Christ. Aren't you thankful for the diversity? There are different expressions of worship. I like Alan Jackson. I like it. I like this. My mom, bless her heart, you know she passed, but my mom loved organ music. She would not come to my church even if she lived in town. She had no interest in being here. She liked organ music. She liked stained glass. She liked, okay, there's a place for that. And when we look at people and say, well, why do you wear robes? Man, I'm glad I don't have to wear a robe. Oh, man. But is it wrong for a man to wear a robe? No, the robe's nothing. If that's what it takes for people to grow closer to God, why then am I skeptical of, well, why does he wear a funny hat? Now, that part I don't understand, you know? But, you know, I think I have to be careful with things. As long as they're doing things according to Scripture, then I can say God's blessing them and God's using them to touch people's lives. And again, one of the cool things about going on a missions trip, by the way, not only are the youth going, let me say it here because I may forget, next Sunday we're going to have a meeting for those who are considering going on the missions trip with the youth, last day of June and the first week of July, it looks like we're going to go. So next Sunday, right after service, we'll meet and talk through. If you have the money, I'd like a deposit just to kind of say, hey, we're serious about this. So if you got $50 or $150, whatever you can give me, that kind of helps me know, because we won't be big enough to go through group with airlines, so I'll have to buy your airfare front up, you know, I mean, I'll have to pay everything right up front. So with group stuff, you have the ability to move team names around. We won't be able to do that this time, because we're probably about 12 people going, which is going to be great. It is going to be great. Why did I say that? Oh, we have a meeting next week. But when we go on these missions trips, it's really cool. And I'd love to go take an adult trip, whenever you guys want to go. If we want to do it in the fall, let's go in the fall. If we want to do it next a year from now, in next January, because it's really nice in Mazatlan in the January. Oh, buddy, come on. I'm in, okay? Although today's pretty nice here. So let's plan an adult trip, too. It'll be fun to go. But one of the cool things about missions trips is we see how other cultures worship God. They're different than us. The Mexicans clap on the other beat. If we clap on the downbeat, they clap on the, would it be considered the upbeat? They clap on the upbeat. I feel like the dude in the jerk when I'm in Mexico. Remember the dude in the jerk who couldn't clap right? Remember that? I feel like that dude when I'm in Mexico. It's because, like, I want to get up in front of her and say, okay, stop. You guys are clapping wrong. You know? I'm like, what am I thinking? I'm just an American dude who's trying to change everybody to be like me. And so it's wonderful to go to different cultures and see people worship God. And God shows up. God does supernatural things right in their midst. I think that's a lesson Jesus is trying to teach the guys here in 49. Now, flip over back to Mark. I want to just show you one other verse. Mark chapter 9 again, right after Jesus does the part about if you want to be great, serve. And then he brings the child, Mark 9, 36. He takes the child, he puts him in the midst of him, and he takes him in his arms, and he says, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. Whoever receives him, receives. Oh, wait, 38. Now John answered him, said, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us, casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't follow us. Okay, just sounds like what we talked about in Luke. But Jesus says, don't forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me, for he was not against us is on our side. And 41 is where I was trying to get to. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, assuredly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Now, when we read that last section about the cup of cold water, we tend to think that even the little things I do for God, even the little things I do for kingdom purposes are going to have a huge impact. And that's true. That is absolutely what that verse is saying. But it also says one other thing. Jesus is talking about also, hey, people who do things outside of your style are being blessed by God too. And so even though they may not be like you, but when we go down with Allie and give away those agape boxes, remember that in the fall? And we go down, we see people not like us down there, and yet they're there every week serving the community. Every week they're down there serving people by feeding them and clothing them and ministering to them. And so for me to walk in and say, why aren't you like me? Jesus is very clearly to me saying in Luke chapter 9, they're giving out a cup of cold water in my name and I'm blessing them for it. Don't stand in the way. They're not like you. But just because they're not like you doesn't mean they're wrong. And I think that's the lesson he's wanting us to see. Their efforts will be rewarded in heaven. Aren't you thankful for that? And I will believe what Jesus is saying is that we need to find common ground with our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ who don't do things the way we do them. Because even the little things they do for God will be rewarded. True greatness looks for ways to include people, not exclude people. And the opposite of that is seeing every other ministry outside of ours as competition or as the bad guys. And that's what it's come down to with a lot of churches in our community, a lot of churches throughout our United States. And when that happens, Satan can't be happier because at that point we've lost sight of who the true enemy is. We're fighting with ourselves. We're fighting amongst ourselves. We're hurting each other. It's tragic. It shouldn't be happening in our community. It shouldn't be happening. And so true greatness isn't looking for ways to shut people out. It's how do I invite people in? And if that's Jesus' heart, and it is, then that needs to be my heart too. And so let me say it again. There are a lot of churches in this town who don't do things like us. And they don't do things in some ways I wish they would do. But they give a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus. And if that's the case, I need to invite them into fellowship. Knowing that what they're doing is going to be rewarded by God. God sees and is blessed by what they're doing. They're not competition to us. So there's the two things that I wanted to focus on today. How are we great in the kingdom of God? And we'll talk about it more next week as we finish chapter 9 of Luke. If you're going to be great, you need to be inclusive, not exclusive. We need to look for ways to invite people in, not keep them out. And we need to have a heart to serve each other and to serve others who aren't like us. And we need to use our talents and our abilities and our giftings to enable people to win, even if it means that I come in last. Because a win for the kingdom is a win for everybody. Remember, you're made for greatness, Christian. God designed you to be great for his kingdom. So how about this week? Let's really look for ways that we can apply these couple simple principles. Aren't you thankful for the practicality of Scripture? Here it is. It lays it right out for us. Let's be aware of the disenfranchised around us, the hurting that are around us, those who are needy around us. This week, let's be aware of them. And then let's, by the Lord's leading, let's minister to them and serve them and give to them and promote them so that they succeed, even if we don't. And as we do that, we're gonna fulfill God's calling on our life. And God's going to say, you're great in my eyes as you serve someone else. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the simple reminder today about how you see others around us and how important they are to you. And Lord, I confess, I am almost all the time thinking only about myself and how to promote myself. And Lord, you challenge us today that the way to be great in your eyes is to become the least, is to become a servant. So I pray you'd grow us in this area, God. That we would serve, and I love the word there, all. Not those who just are easy to serve, but we'd serve those who are challenging at times. We'd humble ourselves before you, God. We pray that your Holy Spirit would lead us this week, that we'd have eyes to see who you call us to minister to, and that we would simply obey. No, thanks for your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray as we just take a couple minutes just to maybe sing a song and just kind of let this settle, that your Holy Spirit would just speak to our hearts very clearly about really is this message intended to say to me individually? And I pray we'd hear that. Thanks for being a speaking God, Lord. I pray we'd hear very clearly now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to say one thing because it jumps in my mind. You know, when my kids were just starting to drive and we were talking about principles like this, I had to remind them of something that I want to remind you. It's important that we're Spirit-led on this because if you're driving this week and you see somebody along the side of the road broke down, I had to tell my kids, you have to know that God's calling you to stop. It may not be of God for you to stop. Jesus didn't go to every graveyard, did he? Jesus didn't go to every hospital bed. Jesus was led by the Spirit and knew which people he was to minister to. And when he was led by the pool of Bethesda, remember, there were a lot of people around that pool. Jesus walked up to how many? One. And he healed one. There may have been hundreds around that pool. So as we talk about this, we want to be aware and wise to know that God calls us to serve people. Not every person who's disenfranchised in our community are you called to serve. And especially you ladies, be aware this week that as God calls you to, you step into that. If God calls you not to, you drive right on by. Because there are people in this world who may take advantage of their situation to bring great peril to you, and God wants to protect you from that. You don't want to push through the leading of the Spirit because, after all, Pastor said, I'm supposed to serve all the least. No, I didn't say you're supposed to serve all the least. Serve the ones God's called you to serve, right? So let's just be aware. God will lead us this week. Some people will say, you stay away from that guy. Let Brian talk to the guy who said you're a cheat. Brian's going to minister to that guy. I don't like him very much. Brian, that he's yours. Okay? All right. Let's pray for a little bit. Just let the Lord settle this in our hearts, Lord. Have your way, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.